Your uniqueness is what makes you different, and you should never shy away from that. I was very unhappy in my young years. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to fit in with the kids. You know, like, why don't I look like everybody else?
What was the first experience like when you did see yourself, you know, on one of these billboards printed on the side of a building?
I started crying. Despite all the bullying, the criticism, you can still make something of yourself. I am actually that kid that people used to make fun of. And now I'm here on this billboard being celebrated. That's beautiful.
Welcome back to the Mulligan Brothers podcast with Jordan Mulligan. Today, I have a really exciting episode with a man called Ralph Souffrant. And you might have seen him recently because he's been going viral after a street interview in New York where he talks about his experience living around New York and dealing with bullying and how he has changed his sort of mindset into wanting to work towards kindness and acceptance. This is a conversation that I'd wanted to do after I'd seen Ralph speak a few times around the idea of bullying. And it's something that a lot of people suffer with and have difficulties around. And in today's world, having acceptance is something that I think is becoming increasingly difficult at times due to the divide that we're supposed to have. So this conversation is filled with wonderful moments of Ralph's life and his upbringing from Haiti to moving to Brownsville, New York in Brooklyn and facing adversity, but also using that adversity and that difficulty and creating a positive outlook on life. And also choosing what some people might see as his negatives and perceive as his negatives and turning that into his most powerful tool. Today's episode, as always, is sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food with everything that your body needs. I would have a bottle in my hand right now, but I left it back at my apartment, so I'm devastated. So if you want to find out more about Huel and not be like me, head to the link in the description where you can grab Huel and exclusive offers down below. Thank you to Huel for powering the podcast. Let's dive into the episode. The interview that I think loads of people obviously saw was when you were approached on the street. And so that's the first time you sort of spoke to camera, been involved in this kind of space.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that like, the response? Because you're a model already, but you had some kind of following, you had some people, you know, interacting with you and stuff. But what was the difference between before and after?
Well, I guess with modeling, it's more stills and pictures. You know, I think a picture tells a thousand words, but the video for me and the recording and speaking to someone was what really like made me feel like I had it going on.
Yeah, and it was just a natural moment that happened, like on the street, like you're just walking along, someone taps you on your shoulder and...
Yeah, which was super strange because like, you know, in New York, like you get stopped all the time, but this time I just wasn't going to hesitate at all. Like I many times before people have asked me, but like this time around, like I just said yeah, and I wanted to say something.
The funny thing is there's like memes around about New York City. Like you can't walk out your apartment with somebody asking you if they can tour your apartment or if, you know, if you're a couple or whatever, you know,
right,
that's
right.
Thing. Is that so, I mean, just for people who, you know, we have a British audience as well, around 30% of our audience is British. Is that something that's true? Like, you know, you get pestered on the street to sort of speak on camera and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's in New York City here. It's very common. Yeah, it's like, it's almost like, you know, it's like, I don't know if I'm prepared for this. And like, that's how much like it comes to you. Like,
oh, wow.
It's like, it's overwhelming here in New York, yeah. You kind of have to decide whether you want to do it or not.
Do it today, shut down today. I see a lot of New Yorkers just looking like they've got a bullseye they're walking towards and that's it. They just kind of ignore everything else.
It's actually a quite a refreshing thing, because in the UK, it's not like that. It's the completely the opposite.
You know? Oh, bro.
Yeah. The New York attitudes, I appreciate it sometimes, because you just crack on with the day. Usually at the start of an interview, I just ask people to introduce yourself, what you do, and a little bit behind maybe the sort of philosophy, or, you know, a bit about yourself.
Yeah. My name is Ralph Souffrant. I am 30 years old. I've been living here in the States almost my entire life. And I really love the States. I really love the States. I came here when I was 9 years old, and just to seek opportunities, because back home, things were not what we always wanted it to be. And we think that we can find what we're looking for here in the States.
Wow. So you grew up in Haiti. Like, what was that experience like?
Haiti is a beautiful, beautiful country. I always tell people, I think that you should pay it a visit one day. It's a place to be. It's great beaches, good food. The weather's always nice. Always in the 100 degrees number. And there's a lot to see. That the kids are full of life. The children in Haiti, they're just so full of life, because they're so excited to meet new people, especially people that are coming from out of the country. You know, these kids, like, they often seek help from people outside of Haiti, because, like, we believe that like we the one that have the possibilities to help children that are in Haiti. Because I, you know, if you think about it, there's people out there that are, like, going to Haiti to do, like, missionary work all the time, because the sending money back home in Haiti is something that's, it's very big. Like, people come here from Haiti to the States, work hard to send money back home in Haiti to help their families, because that they can only thrive on American dollars.
Wow. So a friend of ours, a friend of the show, Billy Billingham, he's like a special forces, he's in the special forces in the military in the UK, and he has like a foundation, and he's so passionate about helping the people of Haiti. So he flies out there all the time. So the flip side of it in Haiti, obviously financially it's difficult out there. The resources are low. I don't know if you speak to this, but is there corruption and like difficulties on the other side of like government and all that kind of thing? I mean, it's usually the case when there's not much money and resources.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of corruption out in Haiti, throughout Haiti. Because I don't know if you know that our president got assassinated about 2 years ago. So basically the country is running now on no government, president base, nothing. So all due to the fact that, you know, the back and forth between the president of Haiti and other countries, they just couldn't put their heads together to see eye to eye. Now we have a country that's the president's assassinated. Now we have a country that doesn't have no president, and now that the people are left to like make their own decisions, and that's not going too well.
I mean, and growing up as a kid, what was the sort of effect that you saw? Was it just low resources? Was there other difficulties as well?
No low resources, no jobs, no opportunities whatsoever, no education, no school, no food. Like everything you can possibly think of on the top of your head, we don't have.
Wow.
No hospitals, no ambulance to come in and rescue lives, no security, know nothing.
I mean, and you saw that as a kid, and then the opportunity came up to go to America. What was that moment like?
Oh, it was just like, it was dreams come true, man. It's like we're going to America. Cause like, I remember growing up in Haiti and just like me and my family, we just don't know how we going to make ends meet. So every day it's a battle. Every day it's a fight to keep food on the table, to keep the lights on. So again, if family in the States here in America don't send money back home to my family, we won't be able to eat.
Wow, so whilst you had family out here, so that was helping with your survival whilst you guys were in Haiti as well?
Yes.
Wow.
That's how Haiti thrives. Haiti thrives on American dollars. Because the conversion, if I send you a dollar, if I send one US dollar to Haiti, that's 8 goods, which is the conversion of one American dollar to the Haitian money. So we thrive on American dollar. So if people here in the States don't send us money back home, it will be very difficult to make a living because there's no jobs, there's no opportunities, no nothing.
Wow. So, and then you got out here. Was that like almost like the understanding that you will be working towards getting dollars to send back to Haiti to your family?
That's correct. Yeah.
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 Wow.
It's almost like, you know, it's almost like you looked at as a disgrace if you don't send money back home in Haiti. Because even your family will tell you, like, you know, we don't have it. We're counting on you to send money back to us so that we can continue to make a living.
So then people who come over here from Haiti, I'm guessing you guys are hardworking people.
Oh, yeah. For me, I came here when I was 9. My mom, she already understood the concept of what it's like. Because I was born in Haiti. She knew what it was like in Haiti to not have money. And her father had to send her money to provide for herself and for me. So when she come to the state, she got to like repeat the same cycle.
And what's the work ethic like, if you could describe it, like how hard your mom was working?
Oh, like you have to work, especially you're an immigrant, you don't have education, you have to do really, really odd jobs, sometimes 2 to 3 jobs just to make ends meet, to provide for yourself, not only here in the States, but to provide back home for your family.
Yes, I mean, that's a tough situation. So you landed in Brooklyn, you know, you started growing. Did you move straight to Brownsville?
Straight to Brownsville.
Yeah.
Right. And it was like another fight, right? Because like you still don't have the resources, the education to, granted here in America, like you get government help that they don't have in Haiti, you know, and here in the States, they call it like food stamps, et cetera, and stuff. And like you can go and ask the government for food stamps, where like they give you this card so you can go and present it in supermarkets and buy food. They don't even have that in Haiti. So we were lucky to have that here in the States. So pretty much finding myself here in Brownsville, it was like another fight, because then I had to figure out a way to make it out.
How quickly before, you know, you landed in Brownsville, what were you seeing around you and what made you go, right, I need to eventually work towards getting out of Brownsville as well?
Well, in Brownsville, to be honest with you, like there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of poverty, gangs, violence, and the whole nine yards. Like just people are just not equipped. They don't have the resources. They're angry. They can't provide for themselves. They can't feed their families. And I knew that struggle very well, but I know that I didn't want to do it for too long. Then I had to like go out there and strive for something better.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, in Brownsville, what were sort of, to a British audience, what were indicators of, you know, gang violence, and like, were people getting stabbed or shot? Like, is that something you'd seen as a child growing up in around Brownsville?
Yeah, in Brownsville, like the kids, they join gangs. They call them Crips and Bloods. The Crips are one group and the Bloods are one group, and they don't see eye to eye, and they feel as if they run. The Crips feels like they run Brownsville, and the Bloods feel like they run Brownsville, and then like the fight just kind of continues in that way, and none of them want to like give up their territory. So, you know, it's like it just turns up to be very just killings and guns involved and just murder.
Is it something that you knew that you was going to stay away from at all times? Had you ever been approached or sort of got drawn in at all?
Yeah, I've been approached a few times, but I grew up with strict parents. I knew what it was like for me. I know coming home from Haiti, it's like looking back and I'm like, this is not what I came to the States for. Like, I know that I have my family's back home in Haiti that are counting on me, that depends on me. I need to do something, not for myself, bigger than myself. You know, I need to give back home to my family. I need to help my mom here in the States. So joining the gang was just something that it was just not gonna happen.
Wow, and then you go from, you know, you're here in Brownsville, the transition into what you wanted to do, going into school, and like looking towards sort of the bigger vision. What was that like?
Well, I grew up in Brooklyn. I've always got stopped from like people telling me that, yeah, you know, I think you should model. So that kind of put something in me to make me, it made me feel as if like I have a greater purpose. Like I have something to offer to this world. Like even when I was going to college, people were just telling me like, you know, like, I think you have a very, you know, awesome look. I think you should give modeling a shot. And at some point I never used to believe it. But one day when that guy came up to me while I was working out in the park and he said, I'm gonna start taking pictures of you. You know, it's one thing for everybody to be telling you that I think you should do something. But it's another thing when like people are actually coming to you and like with their cameras asking you, can you give us a shot? We believe in you. You know, like you allowed me to take photos of you, and then like maybe we can go somewhere together, and all that stuff. Like I've always kept that stuff in me. It's like it made me feel like I had something great to offer. So I took that and ran with it, and feel like I have something way more positive to, because I mean those people was just looking at me and seeing all these great things in me, and like I didn't even see them myself. So I stopped believing in it, and I felt that I had something greater to offer, and was doing the great work.
So this thing, I mean, then you go into the industry and you start getting, you know, lots of gigs, lots of jobs, people start booking you, you do extremely well. Years prior, it was a different picture. Like this, you know, it was something that you really struggled with. You know, you've spoken on camera briefly about being bullied, and, you know, you didn't believe these people that you do well at modeling. So you've turned this sort of thing that people would perceive as negative, or I don't know if you perceived it as negative yourself, into this huge positive, like this really, really beautiful attribute. What was the experience like prior? Like what was, you know, growing up in and around America? You've mentioned bullying a few times.
Yeah, when I first came from Haiti and I came to the States, you know, I was in the cafeteria and I would sit next to kids and they would like, you know, like they didn't want to sit next to me. And me at the time, I didn't speak no English, and the kids would say things like I knew, like, because I could tell by body language and their faces that they would say things to their peers. And And I couldn't, I hear the words, but I couldn't understand what they were saying. But they were, these kids were making, like, legit making fun of me. I just didn't understand what they were saying. And they didn't want to sit next to me. They made me feel very uncomfortable. Then I started feeling different. Like, I started feeling like, wow, like, you know, like, maybe I don't, like, I'm not as good as everybody else. You know, why am I feeling like this? And because of the kids were making me feel like that. They made me feel like I was different, something was wrong, that I took it personally. I mean, I was a kid, I took it personally. And I was like, 'cause you know, you, as a kid, you wanna be part of the circle. You wanna feel like you belong. You wanna feel like you can join the crowd without an issue. Like, so I couldn't get along with these kids for whatever reason. And it made me feel very self-conscious. You know, kids would call me names and, you know, you look like, you know, dude through a screen door, like, the name calling, etc. And it made me feel very, very self-conscious till this day.
Still something you battle with now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, every time strangers look at me on the street, it's like, I think back to myself. I'm like, what are they thinking? So I'm just running back all the thoughts that I used to face as a child. Like the things that the kids used to say to me, if people look at me and they start smiling and laughing at me, it triggers something in me. It makes me go back. It puts me back. It always puts me back in the same place where it all started, which is junior high school here in the States in high school.
What was the lowest moment with the bullying? Like, do you remember a specific moment at all?
I remember being in high school and I just wanted to go home. I was in school, I wanted to go home. The kids were making fun of me. I didn't want to be in school. You know, I went to the office. I told the professor, I went to the office and I was like, I think I want to go home. I don't feel well. And then they started asking me questions like, what happened? Why, what? And I was like, I just don't feel well. Like, I just don't feel like myself. And I want to go home and, you know, and give it a try again the next day. And then they end up calling my parents and my parents came and got me. And I still remember this day vividly.
Wow. I mean, this is the thing. This is one of the reasons I wanted to have a conversation with you. I'd seen some of the content that you'd put out around bullying and you mentioned it. There's obviously the clip that did go viral and there was a huge response to it. But I don't think people understand the depth of being bullied, you know, the feeling of being bullied, especially as a kid, and, you know, the impact it has later on in life as well. So that, you know, that was one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you and have a conversation with you. Because, you know, from the outside now, it's like people look at you and probably go, wow, really successful. He's, you know, he's killing his modeling career. But the struggle, the internal struggle still left scars, by the sounds of it, from when you were just a kid, you know, innocent, had done nothing wrong and was being bullied. I mean, for people in that situation now, what's the sort of, how did you persevere? You know, how did you keep going? Was it all by happen chance, or did you, you know, was there some kind of thought that you were using to get through those moments or to get here today?
Yes, I always felt like this journey of, that I find myself in called modeling, I always feel like I had a purpose, and the purpose that is have nothing to do with me, but the purpose is just straight up bigger than me. I wanted to inspire kids around the world. I wanted to show children that, like, despite of all the circumstances, the coming from Haiti, being an immigrant here in the States, had to go through the ups and the downs, and you can still make something of yourself. Despite all the bullying, the criticism, you can still make something of yourself. And that's what fuels me every single day. That there are kids out there who look up to me because I am a great example for what a person with all those experiences can be like.
100%, yeah. And the thing that I like about your story is we just said before this that you went to school to become a dermatologist. Is that right?
Yes.
So, and that was, you know, purely based on the fact that you wanted to try and help with, you know, people who might be experiencing the same situation you're experiencing. Like, what, did that come naturally? Did someone say something to you? Or was it just like a feeling that you wanted to do something to help?
It was definitely a feeling. I as a child, grew up in this society and I felt very ostracized. I grew up with this skin pigmentation that, like, I didn't ask for it. And I just wanted to learn more about the condition, and I also wanted to give back. And to fulfill those feelings by providing something back to society and helping people and kids understand what and who I was.
With the skin condition, is it something that presented itself straight away when you were a child, or is it developed over time?
It definitely it developed over time. But it took a while because it started as patches, just like vitiligo, mm-hmm. and then it gradually, then at some point it just turns into like the freckles all over.
So this is the question that's, you know, from your perspective is really interesting to me, is as you had, you know, it was developing as a child, you know, and you was looking in the mirror. Obviously, you have some awareness of that, and you think it's different to your brothers or your sisters or something. But how much of the internal dialogue was from yourself or from the influence of other people saying horrible things?
It took me a while to come to myself because I didn't know what it was, and I feel like maybe like I was not the lucky one. I was like, why? I am in this skin, you know, like, why don't I look like everybody else? And I was very unhappy in my young years. I was very unhappy. It's because, you know, you're young, you don't understand yourself very much. And, you know, I'm in my skin and I wanted to fit in. I wanted to fit in with the kids. You know, I didn't want them to think that there was something wrong with me. And it took me a while to understand myself. And as I got older and I realized that, like, you know, like your uniqueness is what makes you different, you know, like, and we all different in our own ways, but your uniqueness is what makes you different. And you should never shy away from that.
So I don't know if you ever heard this, I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't know the quote, but they say that your biggest insecurity or one of the hardest difficulties that you face or the thing that you think is the worst thing about you is usually your biggest strength and is your superpower. I don't know if you've ever heard that saying or quoted in a different way before.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now look at you, you know, you're using it as like this really powerful tool.
Yes. And I thank the man above for allowing me to be a vessel and to use this opportunity to help other people.
Again, on the bullying, something I just want to get across to people on camera, because I think this is really important to this conversation that we're having. There are a lot of people I know who watch this channel who have experienced bullying in the past. So it's just connecting these thoughts of, oh yeah, that's how I felt. But what was your the experience with like confusion? You know, like I guess as a kid, you a lot of it's like, well, why, you know, why am I the one? Why am I the one who's being picked on right now? Was there confusion around at the time?
Yeah, I certainly didn't understand why I was being bullied. I felt as if I was alone. I was alone. and it's not something that I could just go home and to my mom and say, well, mom, you know, the kids are making fun of me and I need you to do something about it. And, you know, my mom was just completely the opposite. She's like, yeah, well, you know, you're strong enough and, you know, and especially in school, you're strong enough. You maybe you feel this way. If the kids bother you, you should go and tell the professor or tell the teacher, or like, or just go and tell an elderly person and just pay them no mind. But that wasn't the case for me. It completely shattered my world. It made me feel like I was less than. It made me feel that I didn't have a place in this world. I isolated. Made me turn me into an introvert, where like I now it's like I'm this shy person, like who's afraid to come out of my shelf because I'm afraid of what, you know, people are gonna like you know, say to me.
And then you find this balance of dealing with that, but then also doing, you know, the video on social media, it goes viral, and I see these sparks of power coming out of you. You know, I see these moments of like you know, coming into it and saying how you feel and what you think and managing to sort of have that, you know, dialogue with the audience.
Yeah, I had to let it out. I've been holding a lot of times. I hold how I feel inside, and I feel like, you know, like it's, my head is just gonna explode, and I felt I had a little bit more power when I was able to like tell it on camera so that everybody can like hear it and see it.
So sharing's helped, like sharing the experience has helped.
Oh, sharing helps a great deal. It's like, I think that's a lot of times I need to share things a little bit more often. Yeah, it makes me feel awesome.
Another feeling that comes along with bullying, and it's like intertwined a lot, is anxiety, especially into later years as you start to go into your career and you have your normal life. Anxiety's lingered. I don't know if that's something that you've battled with at all or felt.
Well, those, you know, past traumas that you never let go of, like you certainly your past, you know, they everywhere you go, it's like you carry yourself with you. So I'm always curious and I face this on a crazy level. I face anxiety on a crazy level because I'm always curious to how people are going to perceive me. And due to the fact, because of the bullying in my younger years.
Have you managed to, as you've started to speak about it more, has it started to, you know, alleviate a little bit at all?
Yeah, I think it starts to alleviate a little bit because it's like I'm speaking more about this thing and it takes a great deal of weight off my shoulders. So I definitely plan on just letting it all out, yeah.
Today's episode was sponsored by Huel, a quick, affordable, nutritionally complete source of food that has everything that your body needs. And for me, I've been using it for the past 2 years to stay fit and healthy and make sure that I'm getting everything I need whilst I'm on shoot and directing and I'm producing these videos, knowing that I can reach in my bag and have a bottle of Huel and it can be a great meal with everything, including my protein, is an absolute game changer. So if you want to find out more about Huel or get exclusive offers, head to the link in the description down below. Let's dive back into the episode. You know, in a lot of the things you've spoken about recently, and I think in the video as well, you spoke about like kindness and compassion and acceptance and being nice to everybody. And with, you know, with your experience of not receiving that, it's interesting that you arrive at that point of everyone should be kind.
Well, I've had to learn compassion because it's like sometimes I ask myself like why those people did what they did, and you know, compassion is what kind of helps me navigate to maybe why, because maybe they, you know, they didn't know better, maybe they didn't know what they were doing at the time, but that doesn't mean that like it doesn't leave a scar. I still have to carry you know, whether the person understand what they did or they didn't, I still got to deal with the scar.
And then the idea of kindness is that coming from a place of, I didn't receive it, it made me feel shitty. So, you know, I think that I have an awareness that people should feel kindness towards them.
Yeah, I think that this world would be a much, much better place if we practice kindness just a little bit more.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, maybe I wouldn't be here today talking about, you know, somebody said in the in one of the comments I was reading that, like, you know, I'm sorry that the world made you feel, you know, otherwise. Well, they did. You know, I think you're a beautiful person. I'm sorry that the world made you feel otherwise. Well, they did. And here I am.
That's tough, man, when you say it like that.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. But, you know, you've had a positive, you're going in a positive direction with it. I feel like I hope you recognize how far you've come already with it. Like the fact that you're having success in your own way is already incredible. So many people would be beat down by it.
Yeah. Well, my parents, again, I can't tell them, like, hey, mom, you know, I'm in school getting bullied. Like, you know, they're like rocks, man. They're like, look, you know, like, go back and, like, get it right. You know, I don't care that, like, you know, it's like my mom is not, like, one of those person where she's, like, where she's super understanding to, like, you know, have to sit me down and trying to, like, break it down to why kids bully. You know, she'd just be like, you know, go back and get it right. And it's that it's like that feeling that, like, I know that, like, you know, like, what would my parents think of me if I got bullied in school and I was getting bullied in school and I go home and I tell them that, you know, they'll just tell me to go back and try to get it right.
Are you glad that that was the message you were receiving?
Yes, I can thank them today. I survived high school and junior high school.
Wow. So, and then talking of the toughness, like, what time did you find the calisthenics and start doing all the working out and stuff?
I used the calisthenics came in when I was in high school. I was like this little scrawny kid, and I was just like, man, like, you know, I got to buffing up. You know, these kids are just like coming at me left and right. And then, like, when I started going to the park and doing calisthenics, and then, like, you know, and I grew in size, and then they started, like, you know, backing off a little bit. But, you know, I mean, I kind of wish that it didn't took, you know, all of that for them to just leave me alone in the first place. But and working out was just a great outlet, man. It keeps my mental going, and it was the most positive thing that I could have done for myself at that time.
Wow. So just for people who don't know, what is calisthenics?
Oh, like, calisthenics is just basically, it's just using your own body weight. You know, like, you like in the gym, you go and you lift weights. The calisthenics is like you find, like, we call them the monkey bars. It's like you find those bars in the park, and then I used to do it in the children's playground when I first started, and then we later went to, like, the calisthenics section in the park, and, you know, you pull yourself up just like using your own body weight. It's really nice because it's like you actually build in strength that way too.
I mean, it's calisthenics, incredible to see. Like, unfortunately, I'm, like I said, we started kind of around calisthenic stuff. That's, for people who don't know, Mulligan Brothers was initially started to sort of motivate us to get outside and work out. We had like a little scaffold system in our garden. But yeah, I mean, was there anything, like, were there any inspiring people out there, mentors or, you know, people who you looked up to or saw at the time, like, whoa? Because I know calisthenics can look almost gravity defying at times. It's like one of those really interesting sports or, you know, exercises. It's just kind of wild.
Yeah, I have a bunch of my friends who we would like set up the schedule in the morning that we will meet up in the park around, like, you know, sometimes I think that the time varies, depends on like how we feel and whatnot, because everybody is also working, they had jobs, but we would always constantly find the time to meet up and do calisthenics and work out in the park. You know, we would meet up in the afternoon, sometimes in the evening, on weekends when nobody's working, we'll meet up in the morning. And it was just a great outlet. We pushed each other and you know, it's like we help each other, like just help them build that body, you know, like we, you know, it's like you can't get off the bar until you do two more. So like it was, I still have those friends, like some of my great friends till this day, like, yeah.
How is it finding community, you know, finding people that you can be around, you got the same kind of goal to work towards as each other?
Well, I felt safe around those guys. I just knew that they would never bully me, right? I always felt like they were, you know, like they were my, you know, when I just first met them, even when I first met them, I just already felt like they were just great people, just great friends. Because it's like I've been in my head for so long and I had to face the world alone for so long. And I kind of felt like I had those people like who understood me like for the very, like well, for the first time of my life. And it felt great.
Wow. Okay. So then, you know, talking about acceptance of people and having acceptance, what are your thoughts on, you know, at the moment, I think people look towards America especially, and I don't know if it is the case, but like having these divides between religions and races and all these kind of things, but having that acceptance for everybody, you know, as they are. What are your thoughts on that? And like how important is just, you know, accepting people?
I know how I feel growing up and how people made me feel. So like I learned to have a little bit more love and compassion for people, because like I know, like I was like to myself, like I know how people make me feel. It's like I wouldn't want you to feel like that. So I try to exercise a great deal of love and respect and understanding for other people, no matter where they're coming from. I just know that I wouldn't want you to feel the way people made me feel, so I'm not gonna treat you like that.
Have you had moments throughout the last few years where someone's come up to you, or you know, a kid's come up to you and go, you know, because of your experience, because of what you've shared, I feel more accepted, or I feel this way, and like how those stories are impacting people?
I met with a couple of good friends of mine who, you know, who they all have children, by the way. And, you know, a lot of them look at me now and, you know, you have such a awesome look. You have such a cool look. I was blown away, because I was just like, well, that's such a different experience coming from you guys, as opposed to like the children that I experienced in school 10, 15, 17 years ago. And it was confusing, because I was like, why these kids are talking like that now? And, you know, versus back then. And then I realized that like it's the media has helped a great deal. Like people are more open to celebrating what's new and so-called different, and the parents too, like the you know, they doing a really good job at home, you know, like teaching these kids. Like, you know, now you go to Target, you see all these massive billboards now, you see, you know, like just beautiful people all throughout the world, just like different physique sizes, you know, all shapes and sizes. And these kids, like, and I think these major corporate companies further, because now these kids, like, now they learning that like everybody is just beautiful and different in their own way.
When you were younger, you know, when you were a young child, you know, struggling with the idea of being bullied and facing, you know, people saying that you look strange or different. If you'd have shown that kid a picture of yourself now, you know, on one of these billboards printed on the side of a building, what would he have thought?
No way. No way. That's just impossible, dude. Like, to believe that, like, you know, looking back, that my 10-year-old self, it just would not, would never just believe it. It's just impossible. You know, that this is now just to show you how amazing that this world can be. How amazing that, like, you know, just like the change of perception change period, just like how beautiful, like, that can be.
What was the first experience like when you did see yourself on the side of a building?
I started crying, you know, tears of joy and other tears of just like, wow, like, I'm actually that kid that people used to make fun of. And now I'm here on this billboard being celebrated. That's beautiful.
All to the journey of, you know, feeling accepted, but like, is that, what's that fight like today? Like, what's that, you know, that journey like now? Obviously the scars are still there. You know, you walk around New York City, I'm guessing you have your bad days and your good days.
Yes.
But are the bad days getting less?
I will have to agree, yes, that the bad days are getting less, because I feel like now I am being celebrated on a whole. It's not like, you know, my friends is like, oh, happy birthday. And they, no, it's like you're on billboards, you know, people are inviting you to like events and, you know, like those brands are like, you know, like paying you and putting money in your pocket, you know, for your look. And, you know, it's the whole nine yards. So yeah, the bad days are getting less and less.
I mean, just on the idea of the bad days, you know, you grew up in New York City, the busiest city in the world, you know, around Brooklyn, New York, Manhattan, like, it is, you know, one of the most dense populations in the world. How would you describe a day? You know, you wake up, you go on the subway, you walk through, like, what did a bad day look like? Did you feel like, you know, you're on the subway, you've got 100 people on the subway. Did you feel like everyone was looking at you? Like, what was the, inside your head, how would you describe, you know, if I was to say, this is how it felt to be in my shoes that day, what would that sound like?
Well, I take the subway all the time because this was just in New York. Like, if you're in New York and you take the subway, and I mean, sometimes I have a bad day. I guess only when people are on there, because there are like so many good people on the subways, but there are so many like terrible people on the subways. And sometimes, like, you know, I'll get, you know, like, you know, like, just like crazy people. Is there crazy people on the subway? And they'll ask me, like, you know, they'll like look at me straight to my face and be like, whoa, dude, what's that on your face? You know, like that's a terrible day for me. That's a bad day for me.
And does that set you for the rest of the day, like, oh, yeah, kind of being down?
Yeah, it's like the train, everybody's like listening to music, everybody's heading to where they, you know, headed. And, you know, it's like, here's this guy coming out of nowhere, like, you know, just taking me off my, like, my track, just like asking me like questions, like, dude, like screaming like loud, like everybody's just like looking at this dude, like, you know, like literally like a crazy person, you know, like, you know, like, you don't do that.
So then, I mean, as a kid, you know, having these experiences, but then being in New York City, like, I guess at times you probably wanted to hide, you just wanted to like be left alone, but you can't in a city like this. Like, there's just people everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, even if I wanted to wear a hoodie in hats and to hide, I just couldn't, and let alone the amount of people that's in the city. So, you know, I try to just stay the course, and that's it. That's all you can do. Just give it your best shot.
Very stoic, very stoic. Do you remember the first time you embraced it and like had that positivity around it? Was there a time before the modeling came along where you're like, yeah, I am unique. I am different, but that's powerful. That's who I am.
Yeah, I think I started feeling like that when I came into the business, like maybe like 5 years after. You know, that first 2 years, I didn't really believe it. You know, I was still facing a lot of like rejection because, you know, like you're constantly breaking barriers and, you know, breaking and changing ideas and perspectives of how, you know, like people see other people's uniqueness and differences. But I, 5 years, so after 5 years where I became more established and I established myself in the business, I was able to feel more confident.
Wow, what's the industry like? You know, I don't have a clue what the modeling industry like. What was that like getting in there the first few years?
Strange, because when I first came in there, no one, you know, looking like me in the business, because you know, like these brands, a lot of times they don't necessarily have, you know, just different looks like that, like such as my look on the rasters. I think it took me lots of, you know, boldness to like really put myself in that business, because they just weren't anyone like me.
Wow. So the sort of bravery and that side of things, is that those things that were developed from your mom, you know, the being tough, getting on with it kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go back and get it right.
Yeah.
Just go back and get it right. And I just constantly repeated in my head, you know, like, you know, you just can't, like, it belongs, it's yours, you should grab it, go back and get it right.
Is there in the film industry, there's a lot of this, but in the modeling industry, did you have to deal with a lot of rejection?
Oh yeah, you know, because it's body image, it's just, it's everything, it's your nails, it's your height, it's your look, that focuses strictly on just your look, you know, and yeah, it's, you're constantly pushing through, you're constantly, you know, breaking the mold and breaking barriers and getting a thousand no's, you get 100 yes, and you just gotta take those 100 yeses and just keep moving forward.
All your life, you know, you faced this difficulty around people's judgment. And then as you come into your, you know, later years, you're going to a career that requires you to face that judgment every single day. I mean, that is some facing of fears right there. Like that must have been some apprehension about stepping into the modeling world.
Yeah, you have to have thick skin. You have to have thick skin. You know, I was bullied in school, and that was like, not to say it's fine, but like, that's fine. But like now, like you gotta constantly put yourself out there, and like, I mean, until this day, I still get comments, like negative comments on my social media handle. But I, you know, it's like, I look back and all the things that I've done, like, you know, it's like, I can't allow the negativity to affect me anymore.
So what's the sort of message going forward? What are you working towards sort of sharing with people and trying to help? Like you said, before we got doing this, you were talking about to inspire, and you inspire the kids and inspire other people. And like to us, it's very important. Like our mission is to inspire change through sharing these messages. That's like our strap line. It means everything to me. And I'm curious as to sort of what your, you know, your mission is with that.
Well, you know, what modeling is more so stills and images and photos. Like I can't wait to, you know, transition into film and television, so I can tell, you know, like great stories just about, you know, I want to inspire many people throughout this world and in film. And I just can't wait to tell great stories and you know, any script that I can find that's willing to uplift and bring forth some sort of some sort of understanding of what this world needs to be like, then I'm willing to go for it.
I mean, for me, I do a lot of documentary films. Super, I think it's one of the most powerful mediums, but I think film is just, you know, so powerful for that. I'm seeing some questions that I've not hit the points on, so I just wanted to go over them. I mean, one of them was, how do you navigate situations where acceptance might be lacking? What strategies have helped you sort of foster a culture of understanding?
Just one day at a time, I want to just take the leap, just the leap of faith, and just you know, going with the flow, and just giving it my best shot, and just, you know, knocking on doors that just not necessarily ready to open. And I think that when they do open, I think that I can actually have a stamp and make sure that the people that are like basically against the what's new or like what's different, that I hope that I can help, you know, change their mind to celebrate people's differences.
Wow. So the question of, you know, with your story now, looking back at what you've been through so far, what is the message you would tell your younger self or people facing similar adversities?
To keep going and never give up. There is a place for you in this world. I didn't always know that, but I had to create space for me in this world. For me, it was through, modeling. I don't know what, you know, other people are into, whether it's music, film, movie, acting, whatever. Like, I think there's a place for you in this world, and I think you should try to create it.
Wow. Okay. I love that. That's such a sort of beautiful concept. I think it's true. There is always acceptance and places for people. It's a shame that you have to find that space, but that there is always. And how do you find space to maintain a positive mindset, you know, amidst like the ups and the downs? Like, how are you finding to stay positive?
I have a lot of good people around me that kind of like reminds me all the time that you know, I you know, you're good just the way you are. Like, you don't need the extra validation. You can continue to do amazing things in this world. And just the reassurance from the, you know, the people that loves you every single day. It's like, it's quite impactful.
Wow. So the circle that you hang around with is an important thing to build, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Have you found that that's been something you've had throughout your whole life, or have you found a great circle of people later on as you've got older?
I think it took me a while to find that circle, but and eventually that's just something that just happens in time as you get older. Like, you know who what's not for you and what is, and over time you kind of like solidified. Yeah.
Has there been anyone online or, you know, in the public eye that's inspired you through, you know, the last few years that you sort of looked up towards?
I would say the rapper Jay-Z, you know, Grump in Brooklyn. I'm sure like his situation, like growing up circumstances weren't, you know, reminds me just similar as mine. Like, you know, just grew up with, you know, around gang violence and et cetera. And that like he went out and made this great deal of example for young children. So I grew up listening to his music and watching his journey. And it's been really phenomenal to see.
Is there anything in particular about, you know, the messages he was putting out there that stood out to you?
Yeah, like, you know, it's like, you in this world, it's like you know, it's like he said, I'm sorry to tell you that, like, but like you, it's your job to like to find from within, like who you are, and not allow that the world to justify it for you.
Wow. That's powerful right there. Yeah, that is powerful. Wow. And, you know, talking of like messages and stuff like that, we, you know, we find that we interview loads of different people, you know, from spiritual leaders to church pastors, celebrities, athletes, you know, tons and tons of different people. And I'm curious if there was anything that, you know, guided you principally growing up, like maybe religion or faith or certain types of philosophies that you would follow.
Yeah, just like positive people in the limelight, movie stars, musicians, and just I had a very great father figure to he had installed some great concepts of philosophies in my personal life, and I can say that those were very very helpful.
Is there one that stands out in particular?
That do not allow the world to project their own do not allow the world to project their own insecurities onto you. You can always find space you can always find space wherever you go.
If there's one message that you could leave the world, you know, what would it be?
To be yourself. And never be afraid of being your authentic self.
Ralph, thank you so much for today, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolute pleasure. You know, I think there's a lot of kids out there, people who, you know, facing situations where they're not feeling accepted, or especially with bullying in particular. I think it's something that, you know, a lot of people have experienced, and to see, you know, your message that you put out there and the success that you're having right now in combination with that is just on its own is a powerful message. And I'm super excited just to see what sort of content you kind of continue to put out and, you know, the messages you want to put out. I mean, just to leave us with a little bit of that is like, what's the plan for the future with, you know, obviously you're going to kill the modeling career, you know, you're looking at towards Hollywood and acting and those kind of things as well. But in terms of like the stuff we're going to see on the social page and stuff, what does that look like?
I planned on doing a lot of missionary work for helping children in Haiti.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Since I got to wait for, you know, right now Haiti's a little complicated. I just got to wait for things to like calm down. Then I'll be heading my way to Haiti to like start like this. To start this program to help children who are in desperate needs of like food, backpacks, just like necessities of everyday life.
If there's any way we can help with that as well, like we'd love to be a part of it and whatever we can do. But if there's anything that you put up in the future as well, let us know and we'll link it in the description for the, you know, anything related to the Haiti stuff as well, and try and get some traction down there as well.
Cool. Sounds good.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
That was amazing. Thank you.